You know you're kind of a big deal, right?
Bitch, yes I do. That's because I consider fisting first base. But you do know you're kind of a big deal too.
Well, that's because I respect the process. Duh.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This is Kind of a Big Deal podcast with Terry Miller and Douglas Parks.
Yo, people.
Hello, good people, and welcome to another episode of Kind of a Big Deal with Terry Miller and
Doug Parks.
Why'd you say it like that?
I don't know. It's a boring name.
It's really not a boring name. But anyways, somebody that does not have a boring name, our friend Michelle is with us.
Hey!
So we are coming together to talk about the current things that are going
bullshit
on in the world.
Bullshit going on in this world.
Okay, the current bullshit going on in this world.
Bullshit. Anyway, say bullshit because that's what it is.
Okay, anyways, so the current bullshit going on in this world.
You can work on it.
Really?
Yeah.
So the current bullshit going on in this world and everything that everybody is dealing with. So what are you currently thinking about everything that's going on, Michelle?
I mean, I'm definitely saddened by all of it because I think that the initial message is getting lost. A lot of the peaceful protests are getting overshadowed by people and press that are not in it to bring us all together as one community and are in it for a variety of other self-serving interests. And, you know, it's disheartening to me as a mother of a child that everyone will see as a black child, mixed race child, that, you know, nothing has really changed. You know, I've got to teach my son this is how you need to respond when and if you get stopped by the police, because it brought up memories for myself. I remember being in a car with my father, and my father, who was so
Are you there? All right, seems like we lost Michelle, but she'll be back in just a minute. We'll get her back on the line. I know what Michelle's talking about, only in one sense. That as a gay man, you receive prejudice and you receive judgment from others in the same way. But we don't have it nowhere nearly as bad as our black brothers and sisters do. Because they've been dealing with some fucked up shit for years. And when they get pulled over by the police, they're treated a lot differently than a white man that gets pulled over by the police. Because the police don't know I'm gay. If they find out I'm gay, I may or may not receive attitude. I do know of this one time when I broke up with an ex that was psychotic. I figured I would go to the police and talk to them about it. And when the police found out that it was a guy I was talking about, his whole attitude changed. He shoved it away as if I was paranoid or crazy. You know, Michelle's back with us. So, Michelle, you want to go ahead and finish your story?
I really don't know what part I got cut off on. But
you were talking about, like, as a black person, if you get pulled over.
Right. I mean, I remember being in the car with my father when he got pulled over. And, you know, the common theme is like, well, you fit the description of. And if you were to ever have seen a photo of my father, you would realize he fit the description of no one.
Well, do you mean to tell me that not all black people look alike?
Well, some folks think so, but definitely not. And, you know, I remember what that was like.
Yeah.
And being terrified that, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, I was not a young child, but still terrified, like, okay, I don't get it. And to you know, really bring up those kind of feelings, remember and know that what I've told my son on how he is to act and how shameful that is, that that has to be a lesson that I have to teach.
Yeah, it's not right.
Not one that maybe I teach. It's one I have to teach.
Especially in today's age.
You know, and it's just very disheartening to think that instead of we all having an opportunity to come together and talk about real problems, we also now have to talk about people who are creating a problem where there is none. And that's just sad.
Yeah.
Because if you really look, there's so many people, black, white, and other, that are profiting off of this man's death and the issue of treatment of people of color. Because, I mean, I think a lot of people even get bogged down on what black is. It doesn't matter, because black comes in over 42 different shades. Yeah. So, you know, you've got folks that are Indian, Hispanic, mixed race. When somebody sees them, they look black. You know, so it's not just simply African American people. It's people of color, people that are a little browner than the average Joe. And to not want to discuss those topics and get bogged down on, you know, who is posting and what hashtags and how I can help. I mean, to see videos of folks that are, you know, vandalizing places, and when they were asked, what are you doing that for? Well, I'm doing this to show that I'm in support. You know, nobody asked anybody to vandalize anything to show support. You can show support, you know, a million other ways that are more beneficial.
Well, I read an article, the cop that killed the black man, I'm sorry, like, there's some shady shit going on, because those guys knew each other. They worked together at one point. Supposedly they knew each other for like 14 years. And the Asian cop that was standing beside him, supposedly the cop that did the murdering, is a brother-in-law to him, because his wife and that Asian cop are brother and sister. So there's like a weird conspiracy thing going on that makes me wonder what's really going on, you know? Like, was this whole thing set up on purpose to start the rioting and to start the anger? Or is this
I don't even think it's a fucked up
situation?
I think it's purely a fucked up situation. Yeah. And I think that when we get bogged down with the minutia of those type of conspiracy theories, we take time and energy away from what the actual issues are. And, you know, regardless, I've had people in my life saying, well, so many people of this color or this type of people are getting killed or abused, and it's not in the news. It has to be this all of a sudden. And, you know, you're still missing the point. It's just a man in a situation who a bunch of people videoed it. You know, thank goodness for the cell phone. It's a curse and a blessing. A bunch of people videoed it, and there was no way to justify exactly what happened. You couldn't. That's not how they're trained. You didn't follow any procedure. It's not that he started to follow procedure and it got, you know, bad. It's completely not the training that was given. So there's really no justification. And then that as a whole just needs to be addressed.
But did you see the look on the cop's face? Like, the whole entire time, maybe he didn't realize that the guy was going to die, George Floyd. Like, there's maybe no, he didn't realize it, but...
8 minutes and 49 seconds.
Yeah.
With your knee on somebody's throat, there's no way any logical, semi-rational being would not think or realize that something
bad
is going to happen. Maybe not death.
But the guy was pleading for his life.
Right. You're going to hurt him in some kind of way. if you got your knee on his throat for that long.
And he was crying out for his mom, and his mom's been dead for 2 years.
Yeah.
George Floyd's mom's been passed away for 2 years. So
yeah.
He was not obviously not getting the right oxygen to think clearly. And he was in panic mode. And this cop steadily just knee on air, just like nothing's happening. And the look on his face was just demonic to me. You know? The whole entire thing was senseless and insane. And it just goes to show, I saw another video today of a cop spitting on a protester that was in handcuffs in Virginia. Yeah. You know, that's going to go viral too. That's going to cause a big stink. And that was a white man that was on the ground and the cop was spitting on him because he was a protester. So it's not a black and white issue. It is a fucking, there are bad cops. And a friend of mine made a good point. If you're a sociopath and a psychotic motherfucker and you want to cause as much damage as possible and get away with it, you become a cop. You know, and in that force, in that field, you find other people just like you, and you can get together and cause damage. But to me, like, I don't know of a lot of racist people. Honestly, like, I know a few people who, like, I've got people in my family who make racial comments all the time, and I just walk away from them or ignore them, because the few times I have said something, it's turns into a big argument. So they know where I stand at this point because I've already had the fight with them. So at this point, I walk away. I'm like, I'm just done. I'm not going to stand here and listen to you badmouth somebody when you're more fucked up and you're the problem, not them.
Well, I think that one of the side issues that this has brought up is really personally how people feel. Because I think if you really take a look at some of people's comments on social media and
videos
that they post, you begin to see that some people are really feeling this as an opportunity to express themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Very clearly and without, you know, they're removing doubt of where they are and their feelings. And, I mean, I've lost a couple friends on social media because of, you know, that issue. And I think, unfortunately, people are not taking the opportunity to really just think it through. You know, your feelings are your feelings. Definitely, you know, you have the right to feel how you want to. But I think in this day and age where social media is so prevalent, people are taking this opportunity to just word vomit. And speak without putting any thought to it.
Oh, definitely. Because,
I mean, one of the people on my feed that I see rather regularly, I mean, I've known this person for years. I have been in tough situations with them. You know, and a lot of times in tough situations bring out who you are. So I would have thought that I knew who this person was. But to read some of the things that they're putting out makes me say, oh, wait a minute, do I know who this is? And, you know, it took me trying to say, let me have a conversation with you, because I need to figure out, based on what you're writing, is this you? Or is this you caught in the moment in, you know, throwing out just emotion versus is this the person behind all of this? And, you know, it was a taxing conversation because she was really unaware that some of the things that she was saying were horrible and that, you know, she didn't view it as that, but, you know, she had no idea that, you know, what you're saying is just vicious and it's not a, you know, those people need to. No, it's not that. Because I think that one of the things I said a few days ago, people are not willing to sit and have an honest conversation. They're not willing to read or to look at multiple sources to come up with your own idea. because they're seeing you look, I mean, let's just be honest, you're looking at the average thing that you get the opportunity to see. And more times than not, what you're seeing is a bunch of black people or people of color vandalizing things and, you know, harming other people. That's what you see. When in fact, you know, overall, that's not what's really going on. There's different folks who are making a fortune out of causing trouble. If you look, there's several YouTubers who are making millions of dollars for YouTube who are going out and inciting problems.
Yeah, there was there's been some videos too showing police placing bricks around places and setting almost like they're trying to set up for a riot version. You know?
Yeah.
And the thing that gets me, like, I can honestly understand if a lot of black people started rioting and vandalizing. But those white people don't belong their asses out there nowhere. You know, like, why are you out there? You don't have no right to be angry. I don't know. Maybe they do.
Well, no. They had a video, a couple actual videos, where they had two young ladies, two Caucasian young ladies, who were defacing several buildings. And someone videoed and walked up and said, "Can you tell me why you're doing that? What is the purpose of that?"
Oh, yeah.
And they honestly, wholeheartedly thought, that is how I support. You know, I don't think there was truly any malice.
Yeah.
But they honestly thought that's the only way that I can show support. And it's sad because you still have so many good intentioned people, but who do you ask, how do I help? Because you still got people that want to help, but they're like, you know, what am I supposed to do? I'm not black. What do I do? I'm not this. How do I help?
Yeah.
And there's so many resources that are there. Like one I read before I called y'all, there's a woman that made a list of different ways that you can help, how you can support without giving money, without giving your time. You know, if you just can't, if you don't want to go outside because of COVID or you're working or whatever, how do you support? And the most basic that most people, I'm sure, don't think about, a lot of these groups, because most people get bogged down, Black Lives Matter is a group. Technically, yes, but not really. But so many other local grassroots kind of organizations have their own YouTube channels or different, you know, IGTV type things. And if you just play them in the background and let them go and play through the ads, it's monetized. They get money for the cause.
Oh, yeah. So we could support those people that aren't being supported monetarily by listening to their podcasts.
Well, not even just podcasts. If you just go to a plain YouTube channel and let the ads play, you've listened. You've helped them.
Yeah.
So there's so many ways that you can still do your part. And I loved it because there's an organization in Baltimore, and they put out on their website saying, hey, these are things you need to know before you feel like you want to go out there and protest. And it was awesome because they literally just said, hey, first and foremost, don't go and protest if you don't know who's leading the protest. What organization or whatever, don't do that. Because there's several people that are setting up and starting protests. They don't happen organically. They're set up. And there's several people that are setting up protests that are not from the communities where these protests are happening and that are adding or causing problems or putting people in a line of fire that don't need to be. And second, and probably most important, the fact that you don't have to be out there protesting. It's not, you're not less than if you're not out there protesting. Because your safety is more important. you being outside of any situation that could be, you know, detrimental to you is more important. Likewise, if you're seeing some property being damaged, you got a cell phone, you call somebody, but you get your ass out of the way because your life is more important than the property.
Yeah. I was watching a Facebook video the other day. This white guy saw that a black guy was getting pulled over by six cops. So he pulled over down the road and walked back up the road and videoed the whole thing. Well, when all was said and done, the black guy left and the cops started laughing at the people who started forming across the street videotaping it. They were laughing at them and pointing at it. So they were taking it as a joke when the white people were basically doing the best they could and they were videotaping it, you know, because now that there's proof out there, it's in your face and people are seeing what racism really looks like. This George situation is so raw and so bad that it's actually given people the vision of what black people have been dealing with for a long time. You know what I mean? And getting it caught on tape was an awesome thing, but at the same time, it's sad that it had to happen.
Yeah. It has, I do believe, given people an opportunity to have, and there have been others where there have been evidence out there, but I think this is so blatant where there's no real way that you could say, but, or sort of because of, you know, you can't really justify what has happened to this gentleman because, you know, he wasn't resisting. He was already subdued. Whereas a lot of times when there are evidence or things out there, you know, because this is not an isolated thing. I mean, let's be real about that. But there have been times where there's been evidence, but it hasn't been so out there, so blatant, so, you know, undeniable that you can't. There's no way, no legitimate way that you can say there is some justification for this. And I think whereas some of the previous incidences, there was still some way people said, oh, but maybe this is, you know, not real footage, or maybe this is, you know, coming up whatever excuse. This is not exactly how it happened. This is, and there's no way you can just deny this.
The
and
camera I think don't lie.
Because of that is the reason you get a lot of people that are more invested.
So and you've known me for what? How long have you known me now? About 5 months.
Yeah.
Have I in that 5 months ever did anything that was inappropriate in a white way? You know what I mean? I don't think I have, but honestly, I just love people and I like to make people laugh. You know, like I honestly love everybody until I find out you're a dickhead. Once I find out you're a dickhead, I don't want nothing to do with you. I just move on. Because I don't have time for hate. I don't have time for anger. You know?
Well, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things, especially if we even take this George Floyd and put that on the side for a minute and just say dealing with the pandemic first. There's so many things that all of us, not black, not white, not other, whatever, all of us are dealing with, that there's no time for this hate shit. There's no time for that. Because we all, I mean, everybody is suffering in some way, be it small or large, just because of COVID. You know, be it, you know, you're backed up on your bills, or you can't pay your bills, or whatever. We're all impacted some kind of way, or you haven't been able to have your medical services, mental health services, or whatever because of COVID. We're all affected. And you add something else to that. And I mean, that's the part that I think I personally have the hardest time with, why people are super surprised about, like, what's going on. Forget that, you know, this is a common thing. Forget that every mother of color I know has told their kid how to deal with this. We're in a state of emergency before this.
Yeah.
So this was this time where, regardless of what went on, one more thing added to this COVID thing, we were going to explode anyway. So this just came at, depending on who you are, either the best or the worst time. Because we're dealing with so much, and this has just inflamed people. Some people that might not have been so aggressive or willing to go protest or willing to go outside of their own bubble. This has just added fuel to that and has said, okay, I feel powerless because of COVID. Now this is something that I can be behind or do. So it was, you know, there was no chance of this not exploding, even if people were not as enraged by it as they are specifically. Adding this on to what's going on already, I think heightened with people's rage.
I think it's kind of beautiful in a sense, is that you get to see the different races and different cultures coming together and forming that bond to speak up about something that they're passionate about. But at the same time, I also do understand where not everybody needs to be out there. It's one group's fight and that kind of stuff. But even
no,
when
it, but it's not. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. It's really not one group's fight. Without there being a uniformed way of justice, it could turn into being everyone's fight. So if they're not going to treat me and my son well or the same, what's to say in the next breath they treat you any different? If we're supposed to be abandoned as a community, this is everyone's fight. And one of the things I read, one of my friends said, you know what, for Blackout Tuesday, I'm not going to black out my photo or post a black square or whatever. It's not what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is make sure I take this opportunity to really find out more about the issue, or take this opportunity to really have a conversation to figure it out. Because a lot of times we as a society are stuck just worrying about our day to day. And who can blame you? It's hard to get through the day. You're not really worried about somebody else's specific. But if you really look at what the issues are, you know, they can't see that you are a gay man. But yeah, if you have to go into the system, eventually anybody's bias will be able to come and fall on you. Where it's just easier because I'm brown, or my son's brown, it's a lot easier. But if you have to be detained, you know, eventually that might come out, you're a gay man. So somebody will be able to then put their bias on you.
Yeah, I was actually talking about that when you cut out.
Right. I heard you. I heard you. You couldn't hear me. But that's why I think, you know, we all got to realize, some people say, you know, nobody else is going to be free until everybody lives matter, or, you know, everyone lives matter, but your life can't matter until all of the group, however you want to say it. But this problem is everyone's problem. Because until everyone is treated the same, or whatever rule of law is actually funneled down to everyone. Because, of course, let's be honest, human beings, we all got our biases, whatever. But rule of law should have no bias. And until those things, those procedures are done for everybody or rolled out the same way, nobody's going to be safe.
Yeah.
Because just think though, COVID. You wouldn't have thought that COVID was going to affect, you know, we saw it. It was over in Asia. It's going to, you know, nobody thought that's going to come and affect us. But just look, even if you didn't lose your job, how it affected you because these things were open. This didn't happen. likewise, this may not affect you directly because maybe you never get stopped, arrested, or whatever. But who's to say that, you know, someone you love's not stopped? And because, you know, they're stopped, arrested, or killed, how that impacts your life. Because chances are, I'm never going to get stopped by the police. But chances are, my son will. And that's going to impact me because it's my baby.
Yeah, we need to use this time to change that. Because there are a lot of people out there who don't care about color. It's the few that are in powers of position that is scary, you know?
No. Yes. But I think, too, it's our responsibility to be honest and say we have more power than we give ourselves credit. You know, we got so many people that don't vote or think their vote doesn't matter. And by not voting, you've cast a vote for something you don't like. We need to be honest with that and be honest with the fact that you don't want to see these things happen or go on. Or, you know, we vote. We can put these people in power. We can take these people out of power. These folks, for the most part, don't do what the populace doesn't want. So, you know, like, you know, we see a lot of people getting all upset because the media is showing black people doing this, and people are hollering that black people aren't burning this or killing this or doing this. We tell the powers that be what we want to see. If we don't like it, we're not voting for it, we don't buy it, we don't support it,
yeah,
it's not going to be there. So we have a more of a power as a consumer, a voter, that we give ourselves credit.
I tell people that all the time. You know,
look how many things have commercials, products, people that have been on shows that have had to leave shows based on people's outrage, people's willingness to make a phone call. Like, if you don't feel like protesting, make a phone call, write a letter. You know, you don't have to stand up there. You don't have to post something. You don't have to do any of that stuff. But everyone can make a phone call. Everyone, and believe me, they answer the phone. Everybody can write a letter. Everybody can send a DM. Because all the companies and law enforcement offices and people in Congress and Senate, all of that stuff, they got people to answer that shit, and they answer. So until we take back, as a community, as a whole, that power, nothing really is going to change.
Well, how old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
Oh, darling, you know you should never ask a lady her age.
Are you over my age, 44? Well, I thought you were younger than me. Because I'm 44. Do you remember back when Tommy Hilfiger said that he never intended for his clothes to be worn by black people?
Oh, yes.
But black people kept buying his clothes because it was the thing that was in. It was ridiculous to keep supporting a racist. Just like with Chick-fil-A. I won't eat at Chick-fil-A because they give money to organizations that are against gay rights. You know, so like, why should I support a company even though their food, well, I actually think their food tastes like shit, but I'm one of those rare people. Most people love their food. But like, if I find out a company's supporting that, I'm not going to use that company anymore. You know?
Right. And we all have the power to do that. And trust and believe, they will make changes. We have seen it happen.
Yeah.
You know? Just look at LaBusta, Jimmy John's man, who was running the company. He's out there shooting big game, and a photo leaked out. The backlash killed him.
You know, all it would take is for every single person in the world to not buy the next iPhone that comes out.
Yeah.
Just don't buy it. The companies will be like, okay, what the fuck's going on now? People are coming together. That scares them. But people will not do it. When I was incarcerated, we were having a lot of issues where the COs were being really cruel to everybody, especially the black people. They were really cruel to them, locking them up, lying, setting them up for stuff. And we had no power in there. And I came along and I said, look, I said, when we go to the yard, well, first thing it was, only about a quarter of the jail went to breakfast. Most people didn't get up. So we had it set up that every single person in the prison got up and went to breakfast that morning, and they didn't have enough food. They didn't have enough guards. They didn't have enough anything. They were unprepared for that. Then at lunchtime, they made all this food thinking everybody's going to show up at lunch, and nobody went to lunch. Everybody stayed in their cell. Instantly, the guards are like, they're calling in like social workers, you name it, because they want to find out what the hell we as a prison are unifying for, because that scares them. You know, like, we might be caged up, but they're still afraid because we're joining together in one thing, doing something. And that scares them. And it doesn't take us tearing stuff apart and being malicious and destroying stuff. What it takes is us to stop fighting amongst each other, get together on one accord, and everybody do one thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The simplest action. Everybody call out of work for one day. Everybody stay home and go to sleep. The whole entire United States. Could you imagine if everybody in the United States refused to go to work? That's gas that's not being used. That's people, the sales that aren't happening. And it that might be a little bit of a drastic move because of the economy in this way right now. But like, the simple act of something, everybody collectively stopping something.
Yeah.
How about going to the doctor? Everybody just stops going to the doctor.
Yeah, we don't. Oh, no. Honestly. Doctors,
we can't do that.
No, I'm pissed off at doctors. I've been learning a lot of new information about doctors. It's got me pretty upset. You know,
well, we can't do that because if you look, COVID itself has really brought to light some issues, and besides, you know, wherever you land on how prepared or unprepared we were, people didn't think about the large number of people who already seek out or have mental health issues, go to a mental health expert, and how being sheltered in place for a long period of time was going to affect other people's mental health. Because as a whole, the largest doctor group that was locked down were therapists, and that's the one group that needed to be there and present more so than anybody else outside of the hospital dealing with the COVID cases. So I think we gotta get open and back so people can see a therapist, get a therapist if they need one.
What we need is our doctors to quit working for Big Pharma and start working for us again.
Part of that is on us too.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you know, we got to do our research about what it is
exactly,
you know, people are prescribing you. And really, you know, how the different ways that you can get those drugs cheaper.
Have you checked out any of the podcasts that I've been posting on Facebook and Kind of a Big Deal? Any of the links? There's a lot of good stuff there, you know? And that's what I mean. Like, we as a people need to get together and stop just, like, stop believing what everybody's telling you, for one, and start fucking checking things for yourself. Because I've got friends that just post all kinds of shit. They never fact check it, you know?
Right. Well, Daniel, my son, listens to a gentleman that does movie things. But one thing he said that can go into every situation. He's like, I read an article that gets my attention. I read it all the way through, and I look what source they quoted.
Oh yeah, I always check them.
And I go back and follow the chain. It may take me 3 or 4 articles before I get back to the very beginning of who posted this and how it spread.
Oh, yeah.
And then based on who that fourth or fifth article is, then I base it on its validity. You know, if that's a periodical that's not known for telling the truth, you know, I take it at a grain of salt. But I think we, you know, people forget that this is not the 60s and the 70s, the era when they had the real, you know, reporters, the real journalists really looking and doing. That era is gone.
Yeah.
This is the era of social media when it's clickbait. The people are getting paid just for you to click it. If you never read the article, but simply just click on the article, they're getting paid. So they're going to do whatever they can to make to sensationalize it, to get that click, to get that money.
Oh, yeah.
And we all got to remember that. You know, I get in trouble with my husband who thinks that because somebody posted it on Facebook, it's the gospel truth.
That's actually the opposite of what I believe.
Right. And I'm like, you know, it doesn't work that way. First of all, you and I together in like 15 minutes, we can create a news outlet and post whatever. You know, it wouldn't be that hard to do.
No. Oh, man. Today's been a hot day. It's got me tired.
Oh, yeah, it was. I rolled out of here, walker and all, and just started walking away and realized, ooh, this was not a good idea because it's over 80 degrees.
All right, so you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.me/kindcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at kind_cast. And follow Doug on TikTok at DouglasPark7. Follow me on TikTok at Terry Miller Jr., Terry Clay Miller Jr., something like that. Whatever. I'll post it in the comment or in the description.
Is she gonna post hers?
And then we'll share Michelle's too if she would like to share. So until next time, stay true, hug somebody, and always be a big deal. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Follow Kind of a Big Deal on Facebook at Kindcast or fb.me/kindcast. You can also follow the podcast Instagram and Twitter at kind_cast. Check out our podcast anchor page at anchor.fm/kindofabigdeal. Follow Terry Miller on Instagram and Twitter at terrymiller91. And on TikTok at Terry Clay Miller Jr. Follow Doug Parks on TikTok at DouglasPark7. XOXO, stay true. This has been a production of Claywater Productions. Listen to our other podcasts, Off the Beaten Path, Tackled, Kind of a Big Deal, Carpool Podcast, and Tea Time with Paul Douglas. You can listen to all of our podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you enjoy listening to podcasts. Bye!